Still got some of Noah's beard in my mouth. It's good to see everyone. Thankful that you've come out on a rainy day. Every time through this Bible school that we saw rain, we were reminded on the way coming in and then on the way going back about what Noah was preparing everyone for. And you know, God made a promise, the Noahic covenant, that he would never destroy, that God would never destroy the world again by water. And you can depend upon that. Now, there are floods in different places. There are places where that the rivers overflow and all of that sort of thing. But one thing about it, there'll never be another flood like was in the days of Noah. And you can check with almost every civilization on earth. And in their legends and in their stories and their histories, they'll relate something about a great deluge that took place where that seemingly the entire earth was covered with water. And you know, I think today that gives us an opportunity and that gives us a reason that we would cover the earth with the gospel, because every individual, whether ready or not, are going to face God in judgment. Now, someone will say, well, how in the world can you go from lightheartedness to seriousness? Well, whenever it comes to the gospel, I'm very serious. I'm dead serious today. But I also am able to say, God bless every one of us. Praise God for his precious gift that was given unto us for salvation in Christ Jesus. We want to thank the teachers and the workers and everyone that participated in these 3 days, for you that prayed for it. And I believe that some precious seed was sown during that time. They're little kids, and you might think that they don't understand a whole lot that's going on, but some of them surprised us whenever that they said, Pastor Paul, did you know that it was 150 days before that they were able to get off the ark? I had to go and check that. Did you know it was 40 days and 40 nights that it rained, that they came in through a door, through an opening, and that opening, whenever that they were all in there, God shut the door. They understand more than we realize today, and we hope that some precious seed was sown there, as we said, that someday maybe God will take that and it'll be a part of them realizing their need for God and seeking God in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the, guess what, 6th chapter of the book of Genesis. Very first book in the Old Testament, written by Moses, referred to by some as the Torah, the 5 books of the law, and also as the Pentateuch. Penta means 5 books. History of the children of Israel comes along later, and the law of approach unto God. You see, today people just cannot come unto God in any way that they want to, but they come as God bids them and says, come unto me. So starting with the 5th verse, we find these words. God saw the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Imagine that. It was so bad in that day and time, so evil, so corrupt, that we find in one place where that God says that it even repented. He had a regret that he'd even made man. But not so much that he had made man, but the fact that man was plunged into sin and that there was a penalty for sin today. It repented the Lord, as we said. He had made man, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. Listen to me today. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But just like that Bible verse that they took home with them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come unto me and before me, for the earth is filled with violence throughout them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within, and shall pitch it without. We want to stop there for just a moment. God being our helper, we pray that we have read this correctly in your hearing. Our text will come from the 14th verse. It says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within, and pitch it without, with pitch. Pitch it within and pitch it without with pitch. There was pitch that went on the outside of it, and then there was pitch on the inside of it also. This was a remarkable thing that God led Noah to do. Because God told Noah later, and as it went along, that he was going to cover the earth with a deluge, that is, with a flood. Now, this is in a civilization, and this is with a people that had never seen rain. They'd only seen the earth watered with the dew that would come in the morning or in the evening. So whenever that Noah received this from God, it must have seemed impossible. That's why that Noah is listed in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it talks about all the people of faith, all the people that had faith, all the people that exercised faith. Noah was one of them. He believed God. And so Noah built, with the instructions of God, an ark. Now this ark was kind of peculiar because it didn't have any steering mechanism to it whatsoever. Didn't have a motor to it. Didn't have big diesel engines that would power it along. They didn't have a captain up above or someone in the crow's nest to kind of help navigate. It was just a plain, simple box, if you will. It was about 450 feet long. That's pretty long. We had the opportunity to see a replica of it. I was overwhelmed. Whether that was the exact ark itself, as far as its structure was concerned, I don't know. But they did get the measurements right. And I stepped it off, and I was amazed how large that ark was. It was roughly about 50 feet high and 75 feet wide. Now, you would think that they would have tapered a boat down at the bottom so it would be a great, fast, seagoing vessel. But actually, the width of it was bigger than the height of it. It lent stability. It lent a kind of security that when it was going to go through the flood that was to come, that it stayed in balance. It didn't tip over. No wave overtook it. And if a wave came, it soon was off of the ark. had one of the children ask who did the steering and all of that. Boy, I had to scratch my head. And I said, well, I think God steered it. I think God protected it. I think God watched over it. I think God protected it. But you see, there was something about it today that lent it the ability to keep out water and to keep everybody in. And that was the pitch and the wood. Now, they say that the wood was made out of gopher wood. If you look into that today, they think it might have been cypress. Must have been a lot of cypress around. But you see, Noah worked on this for 120 years. And as he worked upon it, he preached. What did he preach? There's a flood coming. God is going to send a great destructive flood upon the earth. And the only safety is going to be this ark. If you notice, the doors are open. There was ample opportunity and ample time for them to believe Noah and to get into the ark. That is the people. And you know, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of this story, how that the people refused, and there was only 8 people off of the earth that were saved in the ark. The rest were animals in order to repopulate the earth with the animal population. And you might say, what is that? How is that relevant to us today? How does that apply to us today? Well, God has built another ark. Not an ark out of gopher wood. Not pitched within and without. But there is an ark of safety today for peace, for safety, for assurance. And we preach this ark unto you today. And you might say, well, what kind of an ark is it? That ark is Christ Jesus today. He's the only means, the only safety, if you will. He's the only way unto heaven. Now, I realize that's not politically correct. I'm not here to preach political correctness, but just what the Word of God teaches today. Because, you see, we're going to be judged with what we did with this Word. The hearers are going to be judged by what they heeded to in this Word. What they did with it, what we did with it. And we'll be stand accountable. Now, I realize that sounds kind of negative, but actually, God has provided a way of escape for us because, you see, there is coming a judgment. There is coming a time whenever that God is going to judge the world in righteousness. Paul preached about this to a people that had no idea who God was, but he said, God has appointed a day in which that he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained and given an assurance unto us today that he has raised us from the dead. And I ask you today, and I don't know anyone's heart but my own, I know that I met this person of safety. I know I met this Savior one day at the age of 17. And I want you to know, I thought I was going to go to hell. I honestly did, because I had been raised in church and I knew what I needed to do. And it wasn't so much what I needed to do, but it was a matter of, God, what would you have me to do in order you would take this burden of sin and the penalty from it? Where mankind is under judgment. And in that day, as we quoted in your hearing, he's appointed a day in which that he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained and given assurance unto all men that he's raised him from the dead. He's speaking about Christ Jesus today. Christ Jesus is that ark. He's the ark that lends safety, the assurance. And he's the only way unto heaven today. That wood, I kind of envision, represents the cross that he went to and speaks of the cross. Do you know that throughout the Old Testament, God even preaches the gospel or has the gospel preached in time seen in shadows? I think of that wood that was brought together. I think of the conditions that were brought together in which that Christ Jesus would pay the final debt, the final penalty for sin. And that wood represents that to me, whenever I think about all that being put together, I think about God raised the tree that Christ Jesus would eventually be crucified on for our sins and for the sins of the world. I intended to go out and get a replica of that cross to stand behind me because, you see, I don't preach myself. I don't preach anything else. I don't have a message to old-fashioned this and that and the other. All I know is Christ Jesus and Him crucified. All I know is that Christ is the one that can save. And it's not what you do that gets you into heaven. It's He that does it for you. And that pitch represents something very precious today. Do you know today when I get to heaven, I'm not going to stand before God and say before Him, "Well, Lord, I have preached and I have done this and I've done that." No, only by Your Son's blood can I come before You, Almighty God. Only by Your Son's sacrifice, only by the nails pierced within His hands, only by that brow that was beaten and also crowned with a crown of thorns. That's the only way that I'm going to heaven. It's not because one day I bowed in a storehouse, as I've told you in my testimony, but it's because when I did bow, not in an altar of prayer, but when I did bow, my friend, I want you to know Christ met me there. He saved me. It wasn't my bowing. It wasn't my doing this and doing that. It was Christ who saved me. And it's only Christ who can save you today. But we find that it was built and it was pitched within. I think today that there were three things that went into all of it. First of all, there went into it redemption. Christ paid the price by redeeming us. Do you know what redeeming is? I used to have to help my mother with stamps. Do you ever do that? I know you ladies probably remember how that you put these stamps in a book and you take the book to a certain store and then they give you a gift or they give you something for those stamps. Those stamps had purchasing power. You redeemed them for that item that you want. And I kind of mumbled under my breath, and my tongue became so glue-ridden, and I didn't have enough sense to get a sponge, and you know, like most normal people would do. And I know younger people don't understand that, but I know a lot of you do. And I tell you what, I told my mom one time, I said, "Boy, that rotisserie better be worth it, because I don't think I can open up my mouth in order to eat anything that's been baked in it because of the stamp glue." But my friend, that was redemption. It redeemed those stamps. And Christ, the Bible says, hath redeemed us by His blood. The scripture tells us over in the 3rd chapter, 24th verse of the book of the Roman letter, it said, "Being justified therefore by His grace," what? Through redemption. Christ redeemed us. That's the first part of that pitch that goes into making our ark of safety secure. Then there is atonement. Do you know what atonement is today? They always spoke more about it in the Old Testament than they did in the New Testament. But it's still the same today. Atonement indicates that sin has been washed away and there is a covering that's placed over your soul. And it's a covering that Satan cannot get through today. I'm thankful today for that. And that's part of the pitch that went in. And notice, it wasn't just on the outside to protect us from the wiles of Satan, but on the inside to justify us before God. And that's how we're justified before Him. And then there's sanctification. That is being set apart. That word means you set something apart. And if you've been saved today, your soul has been set apart and protected. Satan cannot get to it. Jesus said over in one place, I believe in the 10th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, and I may have the chapter wrong, but He said, I give unto them eternal life. And He said, it's like this, they are in My hands, and no man can pluck them out. Now, I don't mean for somebody to come up here and do it. But I've got the soul within my hand. You can't pluck it out unless you break my fingers. But then again, you are in the hands of God. There is a doubling there. Oh, do you get it today? There is a doubling there today. You can't get a soul that's been saved out of the hands of Christ Jesus. He's paid for it with His own blood. It is His. Your soul has been purchased by the blood of Christ. But then again, you are God's, and you're never going to get a soul out of the hand of God. You can't fight. I remember there was a black song one time about your arms are too short to box with God. And that's true. You're not going to win if you fight against Him. But what God wants you to do today is to come unto Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Him today. And that is a part of all the redemption, the atonement, and the sanctification today. That's the pitch that goes into the ark, that you are prepared, or that has been prepared for you. The ark was a means of salvation, of deliverance. I'm going to tell you something. When this world is on fire by the judgment of God, my friend, you are safe. Now, it may scare you today. It may frighten you. If I saw fire fall from heaven and somebody say, oh, I knew you were one of those hellfire and brimstone preachers. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches today. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to tell you how precious is the salvation of God, that when this all comes to an end, whenever that it's finalized today, my friend, you are safe. You'll be secure. Your soul is in the keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the keeping of God. And I want you to know that He's going to keep you protected. I want you to find today that it's not only good for that day of judgment, like what the people in Noah's day went through, but today Jesus said over in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, He taught about what it would be like. And the disciples came to Him one time while they were sitting outside of the temple. And the disciples said to Him, Master, do you not see these stones, this temple that was built? Look at the beauty of it. And He said, the day is coming when there will not be one stone left upon another. Well, then that prompted another question from Him. When shall the end come? And what shall be the sign of your coming? And Christ began to go down the line of the signs to look for. There will be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. There's wars all over this planet at this very moment. He said there'll be wickedness. There'll be evil in high places. Men will turn from God and they'll turn to everything else. But Jesus has made a way of escape. He has. For when these things, Luke says in one place, when they start to come to pass, what are we going to do? Oh, gee whiz. It's terrible. My wife has kept me from running off so many times and showing up here on Sunday. Do you know where I'm wanting to go? To a cave with a covering over it. and a do not disturb sign on. And she said, what about your calling? How are you going to stand before God? And I want to tell you, that kind of got me thinking, maybe I better not go and live in a cave and get away from everybody. But there is no peace. There's no feeling of security. Even whenever that we leave, one of the things that we'll be talking about, even as we eat, about how awful that we see the world coming to. Peace, peace, and there is no peace. But my friend, I want to tell you, not only did Jesus make a way for us to be saved and have the hope of a home in heaven, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of all that's going on that disturbs us, that hinders us, that keeps us today from even having a little bit of rest, there is still an ark of safety. And that is, guess what? In the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our place of safety, a quiet place. A place, my friend, where that you can come and where that you can commune with Him. And I know some people probably have been brought up to think, well, I'll wait until I get to church. And that's fine. I want you to probably think about the safety and everything whenever that you're in church. But whenever you're out and you hear about Israel being shelled again and a peace treaty being broken and seemingly those two countries just going at each other and just seemingly there's no stop to it, an ancient battle that goes back thousands of years. Whenever that you hear about some government gunman that comes into a school and begins to pepper the school with gunshots. You hear about bombings. You hear about, my friend, riots. And you think to yourself, there is no rest. But let me tell you today, there is rest in the midst of all this. There is rest in the Lord. Jesus said over in the book of Matthew, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When you walk out today, whenever that you go to work Monday, yeah, get your boxing gloves on, but also take the Lord with you as a backup. And I want you to know He'll give you the peace. He'll bestow upon you that assurance. He'll bestow upon you that safety. And you know, I found that whenever that we think about these troubling times, how can we have that peace? How can we have that assurance? How can we have all of that that we've been thinking about? That is, whenever that we come into communion and we come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you what He says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then He says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Aren't you glad you've got a place prepared for you whenever you leave the walks of this life or Christ comes back? A place that He has designed, a place of rest, a place where that you have no worries, where that you have no trials, you have no troubles, there's no conflict, there's no war whatsoever to crowd the mind. It's a place of rest. Oh, I know you think that I preach about troubles and trials and wars and this and that and the other, but I preach unto you also today that there's a heaven. I preach unto you today that there is a rest for the people of God. I preach unto you today what Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's not just for the lost, that's for the saved also. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Part of my experience of salvation was hearing those words, come and learn of me. Doesn't mean necessarily learning about Jesus or learning about the Bible. but learn how sweet that he can be. Learn how precious that he can be. And how do we do that?
Right here. Right here. From cover to cover.
Every word, every T that is crossed, every I that is dotted, speaks of Christ Jesus. And you might say, well, preacher, you go to the Bible just like that pitch business with the gopher wood, and you see Jesus in that. I sure do. I see Jesus walking through the pages of God's Word. I see Jesus even whenever that the children of Israel went in to Jericho. And he told Rahab the harlot, we are going to attack this city, and you can find safety if you'll just hang a scarlet cord in the window. I see that scarlet cord being the blood of Christ hung within the window. And on through the Old Testament, into the New Testament, Jesus said, search these scriptures and find that they speak of me. Search those scriptures. Don't just read your Bible whenever that you're here and I'm reading to you. But also when you are in your home, when you're in your car. Now, don't read while you're driving your car. But if you've got to park and wait for somebody, or you've got some free time, carry a Bible with you. My wife says, I've got so many Bibles that it can fill a room. But I take it with me. And I open it up and I begin to read it. And I begin to get the Word of God into my mind. I want to tell you, when you have the Word of God in your mind and you're meditating, you're reading about it today, all these other things that are going on out here, they don't mean anything. Commune with one another. Now, I'm not talking about a hippie commune. I'm talking about fellowship with one another. Fellowship. Do you know there's scripture that says iron sharpens iron? I draw strength from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I really do. Now, some of them I joke with so much, I think they're sick of it. But I do appreciate them, Brother Stan. I really do. And I love them. Commune with one another. And the Bible says over Malachi that they that feared the Lord spoke off one to another. And do you know what it also says? God took note of it. God took note of it. God took note of it. Commune with one another. Fellowship with one another. There's a saying that says, no man is an island, and there's a truth in that today. No man, no individual is an island. We need one another. We need one another. Alexander the Great had a father by the name of Philip of Macedonia. And he taught Alexander a lot of things, the philosophers, the Greeks, so on and so forth. But Philip was his main mentor. And Philip, his father, the king of Macedonia, took him one day and he said, I want you to listen to this lesson. And he took up a bundle of sticks and he said, now, Alexander, I want you to break those sticks. And he, and he said, you want to know how to break all those sticks? You can do it. Philip began to pick out one after another. Snap! One after another. Snap! One after another. Snap! Now he said, to be united is one of the greatest strengths of them all. And that's how it is with the church, with Christian people today. Now also, in addition to filling your mind with the Word of God, and I'm going to close with this today. Filling your mind with the Word of God. Fill your mind with things of God. Fill your mind with songs, with praises unto God. Yeah, I like to listen to sometimes to a little of the other kind of music, but I don't let it override the praises of God and the praises of His people today. I don't let it override that. I make sure that there's a balance. My wife helps me with that. She hides some of my CDs and said, I think you need to listen to some gospel music. I appreciate that. And I do think today, I do believe, you know, it kind of stays in your mind. There's even these songs, these little ones sang, this little light of mine, I'll probably sing that on the way home. And all the others. But it has a message today. So Jesus is that safety. He is that ark that we can enter into, not only for salvation, but when we live and as we live in these troubled times, He is a rock to go to. Read in the back, it says, Jesus is our rock. Can't break it. Don't discard it. Stand upon it. Live upon it. And we'll get through all these things that are going on together, won't we? Because we have Jesus as our rock and our safety together.